Okay, if you have your Bible, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. I've actually decided to title this sermon, Dressed to Kill. That's why I wore my good shirt. No, I'm going to try and make some sense of that in a moment. And I hope I've encouraged, you folks too, to just, read over some of these great verses in Colossians for yourself. This is an amazing letter that Paul has written. And it occurred to me the other day that there are several verses in this little letter that are worth even memorizing if you do that. They're certainly coffee mug and calendar worthy verses. Ones you want to put up somewhere to inspire you. Now, I was thinking again of those verses that I repeated a number of times from Colossians chapter 2, and we'll put verses 6 and 7 back up on the screen, but what a great verse this is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Those are words to live by, are they not? And then there's verse 9 and the first part of verse 10 from chapter 2, a reminder of our theme for this little series. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. And as we start off this chapter 3, another couple of coffee mug and calendar worthy words. And words even worth memorizing. Just want to read the first four verses, first of all, from Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. When we were talking about the need to eliminate hurry in our lives last Wednesday, it was pointed out that hurry or busyness, it actually sabotages our ability to give and receive love. Not only the love we receive and share with God, but unless we slow down, unless we make the attempt to emulate and even match, the rhythm that Jesus modeled, then we won't be very good at loving people either. Right? Just too busy. And when you get too busy, you're too irritable. But as Paul says, we've been raised with Christ, something God has done. In the book of Ephesians, often seen as kind of a parallel letter to this one, to the Colossians, Paul said we've already been seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's right there in the first chapter. Our citizenship is now in another kingdom. And so our life and our allegiance needs to more match that. We mentioned this a bit last week, but those of us who have received Christ as Lord and Savior, we've actually died. Paul said it to the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation, a new creation. And while it is so easy to get caught up with all the things of the world, so easy to be overwhelmed with the busyness, or to become busy and obsessed with useless things. I'm too good at this, right? Time that is wasted, especially with our ever-expanding digital and virtual world. Sometimes we can just be so busy frittering our time away. Not that you don't want to take it easy sometimes, of course. Sometimes you just want to lie on the couch with a bag of Cheetos and something on TV. That's fine. It's when you make that your life. You and I are to set our hearts, our minds on things above. We're going to appear with Christ in glory someday. So we want to do our best so we won't be ashamed at His coming. Keep working at that. Which leads me to the next section of chapter 3. Now, you know, I was pointing out all these great calendar and coffee mug kinds of verses here in Colossians, you know, great words of inspiration. I think it is safe to say nobody has ever bought a calendar or a coffee mug, yeah, with these words on them. But they are so important nonetheless, aren't they? Colossians 3, verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You know, we don't talk a lot about God's wrath anymore. In fact, I have a pastor friend. He insists, oh, no, there's no such thing as the wrath of God. It's all gone. I think he got that from that book, The Shack. No, there's no wrath. Now, for sure, those of us who are safely in Christ Jesus, we have come out from under any condemnation, right? That's Romans chapter 8. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 and 10 says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. And that gives us great hope, even for those loved ones who've already passed away. But for those outside of Christ, you know, we have to warn them. We have to, don't we? The day is coming when God will judge the world. I found this great quote from Dr. Michael Youssef. He says, God's wrath is not like a human anger, right, that flares up because of wounded pride or envy. His wrath is not self-indulgent, but rather, as theologian J.I. Packer said in his book, Knowing God, it is a right and necessary reaction to objective moral evil. God is only angry where anger is called for. All God's indignation is righteous. So we say it often to people, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Come, put your faith and trust in Jesus. He died and he rose again to pay for your sins. He paid for mine, and they are many. And for those of us who are his followers, we all know it, don't we? This internal battle that still rages inside of us. I mean, on the one hand, we are a new creation in Christ. God has put his new nature deep inside of us. We have a brand new heart. But we still live in this earthly part of us, this flesh of ours. And by the way, your flesh is incapable of pleasing God. That's what it says in Romans. I think it's Romans 7 or Romans 6. There's no sense trying to reform it. Jesus did not come to clean us up on the outside. No, we're talking about a complete renovation. Maybe you've all heard that old illustration, the old man talking to his grandson, right? His grandson's just done something wrong and probably had to sit in the corner, and so now he's come to grandpa for some comfort. And his grandpa says, you know, I make mistakes sometimes too. Sometimes it almost feels like there are two dogs living inside of me. There's a bad dog and a good dog. And they keep fighting one another for control. And the little fella says, Grandpa, which dog wins? And Grandpa says, the one that I feed. Right? There's some truth in that, isn't there? And this world doesn't make it any easier. So much of everything in the world is designed to attract, not only feed, but even nourish the bad dog inside of us. Right? I found a quote from R. Kent Hughes. He edits this commentary that I have on my computer at home. He says, it is conceivable that on any given evening of TV watching, one may see more sensual sights than your grandparents did in their whole generation, just on any given night. And that's just the commercials. And as Paul goes on here, starting at verse 7, he says you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all things diseased. Now, I take two things out of that. First of all, yeah, I used to live this way. Oh, hold on, that might have even been a week ago. No, so it's still something we have to do. And the second thing I thought of, maybe that first list that we read doesn't describe your life. Well, let's try some of these. Colossians 3. Well, we'll start at verse 7, right? Nope, verse 8. Okay, yes. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And I thought, you know, yeah, it's universal to everybody, no matter who you are. Both the negative and the positive aspects of what we're reading here. Christ is our all in all. We're saved. We really are. We're made subjects of his kingdom. We're even raised to the level of prophets and priests. Whatever successes, and yes, whatever failures you've experienced in your own battles with sin, let me just encourage you, stay that course. Stay on that course. Paul likens our new nature to almost like a coat, right? You put on. It's a clean coat. And we can put that on over our old coat, put on our new selves. And he seems to imply that this is not just something that happens once. No, it happens every day. Certain days it may happen every hour. I got to keep putting off the old, putting on the new. Take off the old soiled clothing, keep putting on the new clean coat that he gave me. And that line that came for me to me for a title, like someone dressed to the nines, right? Going out, looking our best. We are to be dressed to kill. And we need to be rather ruthless about this. In our spiritual battle, and the Bible even uses the word warfare, even among peaceful people like us, as I look out here and as I imagine people on Zoom, all these lovely, fine, nice, peaceful people, listen, you got to put some things to death. Not only starve the bad dog within us, no, you got to load, take aim, and shoot it. Honest. And just as I'm about to continue here in verse 12, I remember a story I once read from Pastor Jim Cimbala. I quote him a lot from the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City. He and several others from his church, they'd been invited to preach in a different country. I think it was Mexico or somewhere down in South America. And the pastor came to pick them up at the airport. There was Jim and his wife and some people from the Brooklyn Tabernacle choir. They were going to minister, and all of a sudden, the pastor was just giving them all really dirty looks. And a couple of the women, for instance, well, they weren't wearing dresses. They didn't have hats on. The pastor was not even in a proper suit and tie. And Jim realized we're being judged by our outer appearance. We've just met this man, and already he's questioning even if we even know the Lord. So he said to his wife, and she leads the great Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. They were in their hotel room. He said, well, you know, I wonder if we should, well, maybe you women should maybe find some dresses, put some hats on. I'm going to go out and buy myself a tie. And she said to him, no, Jim, that's external. We'd be doing that to perpetuate and validate The obvious legalism, that was a big part of that particular congregation. Now, I'll tell you now, if I'm going to visit an elderly person, I'll dress up a little bit because that's expected, right? But as she said to her husband, she said, this would not be something we're doing out of our hearts. So, when the service got underway, and they were still getting the cold shoulder, not just from the pastor, but now pretty much everybody else in the congregation, Jim Cimbala stood up to preach. And he announced his subject. The subject was what the Bible says Christians should wear in church. And when he said that, almost the whole atmosphere changed. Oh, right on. Even the pastor was smiling at him now, right? Ha! You betcha this man's about to rebuke, especially those women up there. They don't seem to know what proper Christian attire is. He's going to put them in their place. And then he began his sermon, and he began it with Colossians 3 and verse 12. What the best-dressed Christian should be wearing. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You know what? He never got to finish that sermon. People started walking out. The pastor went to the back of the room, pulled the plug on the microphone, turned off all the lights, and left the church. The meeting was over. Yeah. Now, this, previous generations would have called this the mortifying of the flesh, right? Putting to death. Putting to death of that which belongs to our earthly nature. The putting off and then the putting on, okay? Replacing those things belonging to our earthly natures, the sexual immorality, the impurity, the lust, the anger, the malice, the filthy language. Keep putting that off. Even put them to death. Make no provision for them. Remind yourself that there really is a power button now on this remote for my television set. I can turn it off. I have the power to take this telephone and I'm going to toss it into the back seat. Put it away from me for a while. Put them to death, and then covering ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Kind of sounds like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Well, it is an ongoing battle, and we don't battle alone. At least we shouldn't. We have a community, brothers and sisters in Christ. Everyone holy and dearly loved by God. And since we're all in this together, well, as verse 13 says, we bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So you're thinking to yourself, you're not fully dressed until you put on a hat or you know, or make that the icing on the cake, right? Put on love, maybe as a belt, binds it all together. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. It's amazing. Throughout the New Testament, how often those words occur, be thankful. That changes everything, by the way. Your whole attitude will change. Gratitude will change your attitude. Now, there's some words we can put on the calendar. Not that gratitude will change your attitude, but I just made that up. You feel free to use it. But words to inspire us, words to encourage each other. I mentioned this a couple weeks back, and I was debating whether to share this because it's just, well, it's a bit of a teaser here, I have to admit. You got to read the whole book, but I've been reading a book by Dr. Larry Crabb. And Dr. Crabb actually passed away from cancer back in February of 2021. And his most famous book was called Inside Out, written way back in 1988. And I remember I used to tell Mary, you know, every time I read a Larry Crabb book, I didn't enjoy it. I was always like, ugh. In fact, he even said in this other book that I was reading that a friend of his said, every time I was reading Inside Out, every couple of three or four pages, I wanted to throw the book across the room. But he said I didn't, because it was true. And I rediscovered another book of his written back in 1997, found it on my shelf. It's called Connecting, A Radical New Vision. And he writes about some things that really ended up changing his whole ministry in the last quarter century of his life here on earth. Dr. Crabb was a clinical psychologist, a professional Christian counselor. But he began to see things in a new and different way. In fact, he even said, we've made a terrible mistake. And he went back to like Sigmund Freud back in the 1800s. He said, for most of the last century, we've wrongly defined soul wounds as psychological disorders and delegated their treatment to trained specialists. Now, he always recognized there is very much the need sometimes for professional help. And every now and again, he would offer his professional help to people, but he tended to be more interested in just sitting down for coffee with people. So yes, and sometimes there are crisis interventions that need to be made. But he decided that what the psychologists call damaged psyches, they're not the problem. The problem, he said, is disconnected souls. And he left his lucrative practice. Right, these are the kinds of people that charge you $100 and some odd an hour. No, he dedicated the last years of his life to encouraging Christians to help one another, to connect with one another in such a way that we would create a healing community. Not just to think of church as a place you attend, but being present here, just regular, everyday followers of Jesus, but interacting meaningfully and spiritually with one another. There's a power that comes from being together in a healthy community, connecting with one another as image bearers of God's Spirit. And he even began what he called New Way Ministries. It was based on Paul's words. I think we have those. Romans 7 and verse 6. But he said, "But now, by dying to what once bound us, we've been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." God has put something good inside each and every one of us, each and every one of you. Yeah, he's not tinkering. He's not trying to fix up your flesh. No, we have a new nature now. And we tend to focus on what is wrong inside of us. And certainly, as Paul says, in my flesh there dwells no good thing. That's very true. But we're to live now by the Spirit. Paul tells us there in Romans 7 that in his inner person, it delights in God's law. It delights. We're to continue this battle, putting to death those things that come from our flesh. By the way, and maybe you've already discovered this, that's something that will only be completed when we leave this world. There'll never come a day when we're not in this fight, this internal civil war going on inside of us. It rages. So the process of what Paul is describing for us here in Colossians 3, it's ongoing. But also, as we clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness, humility and patience, as we bear with one another, as we forgive one another, as we encourage one another, God's Spirit can allow just regular, everyday Christ followers like us to bring that which is good out of other people. Because goodness is in there. It's in you. If you've been born again, born of the Spirit. It's put in there by God. This new nature, it's all from Him. But Dr. Crabb wondered, what if the root problem in a Christian's life, beneath all the personal, emotional, and spiritual struggles, was not just some psychological disorder or only emotional baggage from dysfunctional backgrounds? I got a lot of that, right? Or buried traumatic experiences and memories. Oh, I got some of that. Not just irresponsible living, although it can all be part of it, eh? You know, you make your bed and you got to lie in it. But what if the root problem in a Christian's life is something we could call unreleased goodness? Does that ring a bell? Strike a nerve? Does that make any sense to anybody? What if the main obstacle to releasing that goodness is something we could already call already released badness? Because that's in there too. In our flesh that we still have to do this mortal combat with, right? I've spent a lot of years releasing badness, inflicting my badness on other people sometimes. You know, Evan was talking about those, what you call them, spikes and spear. Oh, man, you know, you're two hands. But what if I lived more out of my new nature? It's a heavenly one, you know, rather than the earthly one. The one connected to heaven rather than connected to this earth. And what if, by encouraging you, by helping you bear your heavy burdens, by speaking life into your soul as the Spirit guides me, and by the way, this isn't just me to you, it's you to everybody, you to me. Not trying to fix you, but what if we could both help one another in releasing more of the goodness, the life that God has placed in us, these temples of the Holy Spirit? Well, we may have to pick that up, Lord willing, next Sunday. Actually, in two Sundays. Oh, no, Anne's here next Sunday. Don't want to miss that. Be here. But as we talk about more about Christ's and allowing Christ's peace to have the rule in our hearts, allowing His message to dwell richly among us, well, let's all keep setting our hearts on those things above, where Christ is seated. Dressed, well, maybe even in the armor of God. And let's keep putting to death those things that belong to our earthly nature. Stop feeding the bad dog. Right? Let us keep clothing ourselves with compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience, and then binding all these things together in unity by putting on love and forgiving one another, just as the Lord has forgiven us. Eliminating more of that hurry in our lives. I think there's a good reason why we're doing that study. So we can make more space for loving God and loving other people. Well, ask God to help you. Be sensitive to His Spirit the next time you're chatting with your brother or sister in Christ. I know you want to talk about the World Series last night? I get it. But rather than go right away to how the Leafs are doing, we all know the answer. No, find a way to speak life into one another's souls. Speak life as the Spirit directs you. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us to do that. We're just so focused on our flesh. And we're even encouraged, I think, sometimes, Lord, to in church circles to keep reminding ourselves of how bad we are. Lord, we already know. That's why we came to you in the first place. You put something good in us. And we can help each other bring that out, Father. Let us do that here, Generations Church. All for the glory of God. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. All for his glory. All right, I'm going to ask the boys to come back. Yes. You want, wait, can I get you a microphone for the, oh yes, I got it. Because it's for the people on Zoom. All right, you feel free. Anybody else wants to make a comment, you feel free too, because I never know how these sermons go.
I just wanted to say, and I hope it's okay that I share this, Pat, because it involves you, but just on, was it Wednesday that we met for coffee?
That's right.
I had a burden on my heart, and it has to do with my own living situation with my own mom. So I had a burden on my heart. And, you know, but after we met, I mean, I said to the Lord, Father God, bless Pat. Because it just hit me.
Oh, bless your heart.
I must have just like gone on and on. I realized how much I just needed to
on
vent.
On and on and on.
And I said, that poor man just listened. But you know what?
I even paid for the coffee.
For the coffee. But you know, it was after the fact that I thought, it really hit me when I got home how much you just listened so attentively at me going, you know, on and on, like I said, and I really was. But I didn't realize it until after I kind of reflected on our conversation. I thought, and I said, Lord, just bless him for being so supportive. And you were supportive just by listening. I mean, you said a few things, but mostly the listening really got me, and what a difference that made. And so just adding that because of you're talking about how we can minister to each other. Sometimes it's not what we even have to say to anyone. It's just listening to them as they release some of their burdens.
Right on.
So that
thank you, Julie.
No,
I've been reading this book. I'm telling you, it's a life changer. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Bless your heart. Anyone else a thought? Yeah, you don't have to. Maureen. I got to go around this way. Whoops. There you are.
Thank you. If we are the branches that are connected to the vine, then Jesus' life is coming through to us all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do anything. We just have to be still. And the vine, the grapes, are meant for others.
Yes.
They pick them. They're not for us.
Amen. Oh, my, what a great thought. No. Yeah, and I was just thinking those grapes don't give you any juice unless you're crushing them, right? Yeah.
We mustn't object to the hands, the fingers God uses to crush us.
Oh, yeah, don't object to that crushing. Okay. Thank you.